One place where Rubio did make a strong showing was Thursday night's GOP debate, which can be well summarized by this dignified exchange.
You're doing a great job. I have his book.
Okay, yeah, that reality Trump TV show, not in
thank you, Donald. Thank you for the book.
That may have been the most shared moment, but the question that followed is likely to have far more serious repercussions.
But on the question of unlocking this cell phone of a terrorist, we should enforce the court order and find out everyone that terrorist in San Bernardino talked to on the phone, texted with, emailed, and absolutely Apple doesn't have a right to defy a valid court order in a terrorism investigation.
It's a showdown between one of the most powerful companies in the world, Apple, and the U.S. government. The FBI has obtained a court order for Apple to defeat the security features of the iPhone used by Saeed Farouk, the apparent ISIS wannabe behind December's mass shooting in San Bernardino, California. Farouk died in a gun battle with police, and his iPhone password died with him. The FBI wants Apple to write new software to alter the self-destruct feature that wipes data clean from an iPhone after 10 incorrect password entries. Apple CEO Tim Cook has refused to cooperate because, he says, the code they're being asked to write would be
sort of the software equivalent of cancer.
As of this recording, other big tech companies, Microsoft, Google, Twitter, Facebook, Yahoo, all plan to file an amicus brief backing Apple in federal court next week. But Fred Kaplan, who writes the War Stories column for Slate, says that this FBI versus Apple saga is being misleadingly framed as a grand fight between lofty principles of privacy versus national security. In fact, he says it may well be about future self-interest. Full disclosure, Fred is married to Brooke. Fred, welcome back to OTM.
Hi, Bob.
All right. Now, as we get into this, some of it is technical in terms of engineering and law. But what has been widely misreported is the basic claim that the FBI wants Apple to, quote, unlock the phone. In fact, as you write, the FBI wants to unlock the phone itself. But first, it has to defeat the self-destruct feature.
Right.
Would you please explain?
In the old days, the FBI or the NSA would come to a company with a court order saying we need either to tap this phone or to unlock this phone, and the company would do this. Then Apple created a new operating system, the iOS 8, where the customer sets the code. So if the government came to Apple and said, we want you to unlock this phone, and they would say, well, you know, I'd love to help, but we can't do it. I don't have the key. The customer has the key. It was created, in fact, as an evasion of government intrusion. So the FBI, or who knows, maybe the NSA, came up with an interesting workaround. They said, okay, look, we're not interested in you helping us unlock the phone, but there's this feature on your phone where if somebody tries to type out an inaccurate password 10 times, all the data are erased inside the phone. So what we would like you to do is just to wipe out that feature just on this one phone, and then we'll take some of this password-sniffing software that we have and do a brute force technique, which is just like throwing a million password guesses per second at the phone. And in a matter of hours or days or however long it takes, that will unlock the phone.
What exactly is the FBI seeking from that phone that it doesn't have already?
Well, see, this is unclear. There is a lot that they already have. Remember all the debates about metadata, the record of other phone numbers that a phone has called in the last 5 years? That information is on record with the carrier, and I'm sure that the FBI has already obtained it. If this were truly an urgent matter of national security, the NSA has ways to bust into telephones that you or I can't even imagine.
So whatever it is the FBI is seeking, and maybe it doesn't know itself what it's seeking, it's under the grounds of general investigation and not something necessarily urgent. But there are legal underpinnings to its request. Tell me, please, about the All Writs Act.
Well, the All Writs Act is something that was written in 1789, and it is the basis for all wiretaps in U.S. history. It basically allows the government to go to a third party to get help in getting information from somebody else.
But there are exceptions under the All Writs Act, and one of them is that fulfilling the court order will do harm to the entity that fulfills it, in this case, Apple. What's Cook's claim? Is this the cancer that he's talking about?
Yeah. I mean, it's a clause called unnecessary burden or undue burden. And he's arguing this is going to put undue burden on us. First, we have to write some code that doesn't exist. And second, this code could get out into the world to unlock any Apple phone. Or the FBI, once it wins in this particular request, they could use that as a precedent for getting into any other phone on any other pretense. But more, there's a third exception, and that is that it's unnecessary, that you really don't need my help in this. And that's where the FBI might have to come up with some reason, given that they have the record of who this guy called on that phone and who called him. Is there really anything compelling in that data which requires Apple to turn over more information from the phone? And in fact, you know, the NSA director, Admiral Mike Rogers, said in one interview that the metadata did not reveal any foreign contacts on this phone. So it's a very knotty case. I think both sides are being disingenuous in that Apple really doesn't have a very good case for refusing to turn this over, given that they've turned over phones and unlocked them many times. On the other hand, the FBI is looking for something that probably isn't there, and I think Apple is right in this sense, that they are trying to create a precedent for strengthening the laws for overriding encryption or even for weakening encryption in the future.
Aha. And this gets to the thrust of your piece, which is that pay no attention to Syed Farouk's cell phone here. This is really just a red herring for both parties of this standoff. This is about the future. And you just didn't pull that out of your hat. You have reasons to think that there's a background game being played here.
Well, there was an article in Bloomberg Business Week that there was a National Security Council meeting in November where a memorandum was issued calling on all agencies to come up with ways to get around this tighter encryption. And I believe that this case will work very well in their favor, both legally and politically. So I think Apple has maneuvered itself into not a good position. This is not a great test case for them. And now that it's out in the public, my big worry is that should they happen to win the court case, given the present environment, especially an election year and so forth, I can imagine someone in Congress writing a law that will greatly expand the powers of government to get into phones and other devices and maybe put requirements on companies like Apple to put backdoors in phones.
Patriot Act 3, the revenge.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little surprised that Tim Cook has made this into the big issue, the battlefield on which he is waging this ultimate fight for privacy rights, because I think legally, perhaps even morally and politically, he is on very shaky grounds with this.
Fred, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Fred Kaplan is the national security columnist for Slate and author of Dark Territory, The Secret History of Cyber War. Coming up, the president takes another stab at closing Guantanamo, but this is On the Media.